Welcome back to another episode of Journey into the Vortex, where metaphysics meets real life. My name is Mary Roseman, and I'm joined by my co-hosts Marcella Nitschke and Heather Wells. We are three ordinary women who have seen our lives transformed into the extraordinary through the discovery of the metaphysical laws and principles. And that is exactly what we want to share with you each week as we try to unravel the mysteries of the universe and discover how expanding your consciousness through metaphysical awareness can bring clarity, purpose, and transformation to your life. So let's get started.
Welcome to another episode of Journey into the Vortex. Today we have decided that our topic will be God. And the reason why we chose this topic for today's podcast is because the concept of God in metaphysics can be quite different from what most religions, especially most Christian religions, understand as God. And even though we believe that as humans, we can't really understand the Creator, the beliefs that we have about God, the concept that we have of God, shapes every other belief that we have and our understanding of our world, both the physical world and the metaphysical world. And all the teachings and the practices that we explore in this journey into the vortex are in direct connection with what we believe God, our source, is. Because that's what determines what we believe about ourselves, about who we really are. And that's what we try to do in metaphysics, is go beyond what the human eye can see to discover the essence, the connection, and the principles that govern our universe. So let's explore this a little deeper. Mary, Heather, what comes to mind when you think of God?
God, the universe, Father, Yahweh. You know, originally, when I started first contemplating all of this, I was studying the Course in Miracles. And Course in Miracles uses God quite often all throughout the book. And so, of course, I totally understood. Now, as I get further into my metaphysical journey, I resonate more with the universe.
Yeah, I think universe and source are the two most common words used in the metaphysical world or the new thought to call God. But probably because the word God, well, a lot of the people that go into metaphysics are kind of trying to walk away from religion. And so maybe the word God is still associated in their minds with that authoritative figure, that man with a white beard that lives in some distant world that we learn in religion.
Mm-hmm. I tend to fluctuate a little bit between all of them. Mm-hmm. Just depends on...
Does it confuse you when you do that?
Sometimes I question if the term is correct. I don't know. I don't want to say... I mean, obviously we know God, spirit, the universe is not... The mm-hmm. energy is source energy.
I think the problem is that really the creator or the source is unnameable.
It is.
And so when we try to create, to call it something, we always kind of attribute it some traits that we, you know, that we as humans have. And mm-hmm. that's when the problem or the limitations are a problem.
That's a good word, limitations, because it's limitless.
Right. I don't think we comprehend the source.
I
don't think we do. So,
what's a word in our language that's big enough to describe?
I like the word Father, although because it's from the Course in Miracles, I think. But to me, Father does not mean the old man that, you know, religion teaches, like there's a man out there that is your father, and it's judging you and all that stuff. Father in the way that we it's our source, right? It we come from this source, from this intelligence or this unnameable force, or which is love, right? Mm-hmm. So I think from reading the Course so much, I became familiar with the word Father in that sense. I like to think of Source as my creator, although we are it, right?
Mm-hmm. And what I do love about the Source, and again, I as we know and we've talked about, I didn't spend a lot of time in church, but I did go to Sunday school. Mm-hmm. And what I remember is, like you said, these books of religious books for children where they would show a picture of God and it was almost a white beard, or even the picture of Jesus, you know, the same, or remember the pictures of God where it would look like light from the clouds, mm-hmm. you know, which does look like source energy. But I also love how the Course refers to God as Father, and then Jesus just always is constantly reminding you throughout the Course that he is our brother, like he is, right?
Well, many Christian religions say that Jesus is God.
That's what I'm saying. So like, they worship Jesus. So you don't know, like it's this tier, I feel like. And
so they worship Jesus, yes. and they teach us that you are inferior to this person, this man that lived here so many years ago. And even though to me Jesus is very dear, I think he is an ascended master that works closely with our soul group. I don't have any desire to worship Jesus.
And I think the teachings, even in the Bible, when did he ever say he wanted to be worshipped? You know, he was a teacher. Mm-hmm. He was a great teacher. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he would say, like, no, you can do these miracles. As, you know, he was just trying to show that. I don't think that was ever his intention for people to worship him. Mm-hmm. But religion.
So I see the universe or source energy as a symphony or an orchestra, if you will. You know, and you've got your violins going over here, you've got your flutes over here, you've got your drums over here. Put it all together and you've got this beautiful song concert going, right? So every beloved has source energy within them, animals, trees, everything on this. Together combined, we are the universe. And each one of us taps into this source energy. I should say, we align with it or we do not. And when we're aligning and we're in the flow with it, there's just this wonderful grace and ease, if you will, the flow of it. And if we're not aligned with that, and we're seeing it as separation, as you say, and now we're worshiping Jesus as God or God as the Father, then we've separated ourselves from even being able to tap into that source energy and create ourselves. So I see it even more, I don't want to call it complicated. The complication is overcoming my programming. It's actually very, very easy, but I just have to undo all of the stuff that I learned before. I mean, it's just like putting skates on, you know? And as a kid, I turn around and go backwards and do all this wonderful thing. And now as an adult, I'm like much more cautious. But you know, there was that flow. Do you remember riding the bike, the flow? Taking your hands off the handlebar and just flowing with it. That is how I see being attuned or aligned with the universe and just going with the creation of it all.
I like your analogy of that flow, that letting the energy, the source energy flow and express. But I don't think that calling the creator God the Father is feeling separated from source energy. I do believe that the creator is greater than its expressions. The sum has to be greater than the parts, right? I like how the Course in Miracles explains this. What it says is that we and God, we and the Father are one, are the same. But that the Creator is greater than its expressions. There's infinite expressions of the Creator, and we can choose to be whatever we want because we are creators like our Creator, right? And then when we decide to separate and create and use our God-given skills to create, but not based on the belief in we are one with God, but based on, oh, I can do it on my own, I can do it my way, that's when we separate and we create, right? Because we still have those abilities, but we create from a different place, from the place of separation. We don't create joy, and we don't create love, or we don't create for everybody. We create it in a different way. So I like that. And it, like you say, Mary, it does feel different. When we create because we think we're gonna need or lack or we gotta conquer something or we gotta accomplish something, it feels different when you create from that place than when you create because you want what the Course in Miracles says, the extension of love, right? We want to create mm-hmm. because we want to share, we want to extend this amazing power that we have, and the results are different, right? The creations are different.
They absolutely are, and it's it all comes down to, I always say this, frequency and energy. And so if you are aligned with the highest consciousness, the divine consciousness, well, you can just tell you're in the flow.
And that's also what Abraham Hicks teaches, is the flow and being in alignment, and that's
mm-hmm. You know, so I'm, you know, it's just an ordinary day and I'm flowing away. But now I've had to slam on my brakes because someone's not watching. And suddenly I'm out of the flow. And I'm inclined to one of two things. Thank the angels and all the beloveds around that have protected me from a crash. Or what are you, yada, 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 fill in the blank. I have this choice. I have this option. And it could be any number of examples. Whatever takes you out of the connection or the higher frequencies, the higher consciousness. Because the fact of the matter is you are a creator. Period, case, close, end of story. What are you creating?
Right, we're always creating. Right. We're either creating from love or we're creating from fear.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And bring in Abraham's teachings, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're aligned, if you're in the flow, you're going to create from love, because actually you're just going to allow all that you had created with your desire to manifest, mm-hmm. something, right? But if you're not, then you are actually going to not only just block those desires from manifesting, but you are actually going to create the opposite, because you're attracting the opposite. You're focusing on the lack of it.
Right.
So.
And so I know how confusing this could be, because you're like, that's not about God. Well, I invite you to go research it. It's Abraham, the law of attraction. It's a great start to study this and broaden your horizon on, because God is so much more than that little square box that has been created by human beings, right?
It's just so different. It's just so different when you really expand or try to expand your understanding, because I don't think we can, like I said, really mm-hmm. comprehend, but just that stretch, just that expansion, brings a completely different way of even looking at your fellow humans, because you exactly. see, you know that God is everybody, right? We are all God. Correct. And so there's no human you're going to look down at, or there's nothing that you will really what is not good is just the absence of it, period. It's just that simple. So instead of like, oh my God, you should be like this, or you judge or you project, they are bad, I'm good, or they should be doing, expand a little more your concept of mm-hmm. source.
Yeah. So Marcella was addressing judgment, and you can say, if everything is energy, and my goal, my ultimate desire is to be aligned with the higher frequency of the Christ consciousness, okay? Then I am going to discern what it is I need to surround myself with. I'm going to stay out of the story. Once I get into the story, it's judgment. I can see, oh, I really don't like this energy. I don't like the words that are being spoken, but I don't need to get into the words. I just need to feel the frequency and go, I intend on remaining in the highest possible consciousness right now. Therefore, this isn't my environment that I'm going to choose, and leave. It's very, very simple. I'm not making anybody wrong, right? They're just merely experiencing the frequency and the energy that they're experiencing at that very moment. That just happens not to be aligned with where I want to be. It's that simple.
Can we talk a little more about Christ consciousness?
We can use the Course in Miracles teachings about what becoming the Christ really means. But maybe we should first talk about what Christian religions teach about being what being the Christ means. They teach that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. In that, they are teaching that there is only one Christ, only Jesus can be a Christ, and only Jesus can be the Son of God, which is quite different from what we understand in metaphysics. And in particular, the teachings of the Course in Miracles, for those of you who may not be familiar, the Course in Miracles is channeled work that was dictated by an entity that identified itself as Jesus or Joshua, and it was transcribed by Helen Schuckman and William Thetford in New York in the 1970s. So what the Course in Miracles teaches is that Jesus attained Christ consciousness because he knew that he was the Son of God, and he came to teach us the way so that we all can reach that awareness, become the Christ, just like he did. And now religion teaches this very differently because they read in the Bible that it says, my only son. But in metaphysics, when we hear the only son, what it means is that we are all one. The sonship, the Course talks about the sonship. We are the sonship. We are the expressions of God. We are one because in essence, we're all connected and we're all the same. So that's why we are just one son. And we are all called to develop that awareness. And Son of God may sound very religious, and however, it's all an analogy using concepts that are very familiar to us humans. The Son of God is the expression of the Source, the Father, and created with the same attributes as the Father. Obviously, Father, Son share the same attributes, and that's why it uses the word Son. So Jesus, like other ascended masters, had this awareness of being a part of Source, being one with Source, and that is what having the Christ consciousness means. And I know I can go on and on with Course in Miracles, but one more thing that I would like to maybe it will help understand this is that the Course basically teaches that there are two systems of thought, so to speak. The thought system that is real, that is love, and the thought system that is not real and that is fear. and that it one is one comes from source and the other that is not real comes from ego. And so developing the Christ consciousness basically it means choosing not to be aligned with a thought system of the ego, but to realign ourselves with the system of love. Moving from the perception to the realization. Moving from interpreting, creating based on separation and interpreting that, to being aware that we are creators and that we are love and that only what we create from love is real. Because that changes everything. That changes the way we see everything. That's when we call the awakening, right? The enlightenment, when we really realize that we are Christ. Of course, religion teaches that Jesus is the only Son of God and Jesus Christ is the only possible Christ. So it's quite different.
So people need to understand that when people say Jesus Christ, that was not his last name.
Right.
He was of Christ. Jesus, it was his consciousness. Mm-hmm. And people get very offended when you think, when people say, like, we are God. We are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, they do.
And
blasphemous.
But I don't think, again, that goes back to the man sitting up on the chair judging us. There's no.
And to me, punishing them.
Imagine that, just the idea. It's like ridiculous. And there's still people that, okay, we're going to go into that.
I know, but
I don't understand. But you know what? I was reading these metaphysicians. Connie Mendez is the one that you probably heard me talk a lot about lately. She's Hispanic. She's Venezuelan. She was. And they all talk about religion not being necessarily bad. It's just that it's like, if you're not ready to understand, if you're not interested in metaphysics, if you like to argue about it, if you like to come up with like reasons that don't make any sense, you know, if you just don't get it, it's because you're not ready. And you have to go through the steps of understanding God, the Father, universe, source, in a human way before you realize how it doesn't really make sense. But you have to go through those steps according to them.
Really? So maybe, that's interesting.
That's interesting. The other thing is like worship for some people raises your vibration.
That's, yeah, that's
so positive. And you know, if you go to a Christian celebration or ceremony, mm-hmm. whatever, they are big worshipers, mm-hmm. and they all are like, they
singing
get to that state.
Yes.
Yes. So maybe that's their way to really, you know, have this communion, have this alignment.
Alignment, energy,
in the way
they're
that
connecting.
They can.
They're connecting.
Right. Because if they can't, if they're not ready to really see or raise their awareness a little bit or expand, then that's their way to connect.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it was interesting, I thought, because...
Yeah.
And there's a lot of songs. Do you remember, and this is, it was made into a song, but it's in the Bible somewhere, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
That's a...
is it a song?
A prayer from St. Francis.
St. Francis. Okay,
yeah, they made
you.
It into a song. Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's a beautiful prayer.
So think about it. Make me a channel of your peace. It's essentially saying, make me a conduit of your love and your peace. So they had the words, and they did have somewhat of the energy and the consciousness there. It was just the separation that was occurred with the hierarchy.
That can be a very powerful prayer if we look at it metaphysically, right? Because it's actually harmonizing the polarity. It says, like, make me a channel of your peace. Where there's hatred, may I be love. Where there's conflict, may I be peace. So it's like bringing all the fear-based to the love-based awareness.
And it was always my favorite. And I, you know, I grew up Catholic, as I've shared before. I loved that song and that prayer, because that, out of everything that was ever taught to me, that just was so...
It kind of resonated, right, somewhere. Yeah.
Yes, there's something so much more to this. Why don't we talk about this more?
And another thing is that I want, you know, I don't know much about St. Francis, but sometimes I wonder if the so-called saints, maybe not all of them, but maybe most of them were actually mystics. And it's just that the teachings or what their practices were not really revealed and were hidden by the authorities. And so we don't really know what kind of awareness. They were probably humans who had attained Christ consciousness. It's just that their teachings were not spread or made public as they should have been, because we know some religious authorities may not want us to learn certain things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to, I'm going back and I'm contemplating on what Marcella said about maybe it's just a human condition that we must go through this before we get into the metaphysics.
Evolve. Yeah, like it's an
of it. Perhaps. What I like watching is some of the young people that seem to have it. You know, like I've automatically, like Matthias.
Mm-hmm. Matthias de Stefano. We're talking about Matthias de Stefano that we mentioned in one of the episodes.
Yes, these beloveds seem to come with it, and they don't have it slapped out of them through their socialization or their programming, or maybe they just maintained. I'm talking about the indigo children, the crystal children. Well, it seems like there's more beloveds coming to the earth that have this naturally.
But also with this raising of consciousness, say you're raising your vibration with Christian worship because that's all you know, right? Mm-hmm. This higher vibration, I think, is like the place where the seeds are. Like from there, you can wake up. From there, it's easier, I think, for the I don't know, like your guides or the whole, you know, the thoughts of higher consciousness thoughts that are around to reach you.
Versus when you're in a place of fear or a lower vibration, when they're worshiping, they are. Their hands are up.
Oh yeah.
They're receiving.
Yes. They're just going out instead of staying in. They're just projecting it out, but it's still that, you know. I think so. Maybe it's not as bad as not doing it at all. Although I do believe that sometimes the things that they teach you in mainstream religion limit your, like you don't look beyond, right?
Right.
So I don't know, but that's what these.
It's not, there's no, you know what I mean? There's no right or wrong. It's an experience. And clearly, before I came into this lifetime, I chose the parents that I had. I chose the religion that I would be raised in. That's kind of how I look at it. And here's the problem that I think, do I want to call it a problem? With religion or with what I experience, because I don't want to project that on into anybody. But the criticism and the harshness being raised in Catholicism and going to Catholic school created so much self-deprecation. And that's, you know, as an adult, that's something that I continuously transcend, because I find myself going off into that. And the thing is, no baby is born with an original sin.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah.
Children are beautiful and innocent. They don't
pure.
Need to be. Yeah, and so we don't want to diminish the wonderment.
But maybe if we just think, because original sin, what it is like, believe in separation. And anybody coming into this world comes here because they believe that they could separate and create, right? So if we just understand it like that, instead of as something bad. Sin is an,
sin is an awful word. Right?
It's an awful word. It could be like an original misbelief, an original confusion.
Right.
Call it something else. And it is that, because actually we wouldn't be here if we really knew that we're not separate, we probably will be in a different world. All of those things, I think the problem is that they have been turned into a way to condemn. And when we're separated, we condemn because we project that guilt, right? Like the Course in Miracles talks about this guilt that is huge. We think that we try to, never know how to pronounce this word in English, usurp the power of God when we decided to venture on our own and create our own reality, and we still have that guilt. So the Course tries to teach us, you can't do that. You have free will, and you can create all the realities that you think you're creating and go live them. But in reality, like the real reality, that can't happen. You are still as God created you. You're still divine. So, and it's the whole existence sometimes is just, the whole purpose is just realizing that there's nothing to feel guilty about. But all these concepts we create, right?
Right. Right.
Confession, for example, is a big one. Oh, go confess
your sin.
Yeah, exactly. But so wrong, right? It's just wrong.
Yeah.
Exactly, because confessing is actually, when you are aware of an error, that is awesome. That's liberation. Go liberate yourself. Why didn't you say that, right? Go or go figure out what or ask to be revealed what error is in your mind that made you, you know, do something that is not love-based. But not as a sin or as something that is bad, but actually a discovery, an awareness.
Right. And there's nothing wrong. Sin, the definition of sin is to miss the mark. It's a mistake. It's an experience. And my experiences where I missed the mark were my biggest teaching moments. And to condemn another the way we condemn beloveds who have experienced it and throw them into a prison without any kind of rehabilitation or any type of a way of contemplating their lives.
And that's when it's important.
That's totally missing the mark.
Yeah. And I think that's when it's important to really know what God really is. God is us. God is the source where we all come from. And so when you see, and also not just Course in Miracles, any metaphysical teaching says, if when you see and you honor the Christ in anybody, you lift them up. Anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, like you said, you know, a criminal, but you are not, you are saluting that Christ in that person, and you are energetically helping that beloved, like you say, open up a little bit to that reality.
Right.
So, we thought that it was important to talk about this because I think when you really understand what using the word God means, it's just so different, and it is the source of everything. And I think it's important to
kind of expand your
right. Expansion is what it's all about. We can't stay in our limited purviews, our human creations.
So to wrap up, there's I don't know if I've mentioned this this mystic of the 19th century, Prentice and Mulford. I just love the way that Prentice summarizes his concept of God, because it really is so much in alignment with it's simple and yet it's deep, and I think it is what we would agree we would call God or source energy. So it says, God, a supreme power and wisdom governs the universe. The supreme mind is measureless. and pervades endless space. The supreme wisdom, power, and intelligence is in everything that exists, from the atom to the planet. The supreme power and wisdom is more than in everything. The supreme mind is everything. The supreme mind is every atom of the mountain, the sea, the tree, the bird, the animal, the man, the woman. The supreme wisdom cannot be understood by man or by being superior to man. But man will gladly receive the supreme thought and wisdom and let it work for happiness through him, caring not to fathom its mystery. The supreme power has us in its charge, as it has the suns and endless systems of worlds in space. As we grow more to recognize this sublime, and exhaustless wisdom, we shall learn more and more to demand that wisdom, draw it to ourselves, make it a part of ourselves, and thereby be ever making ourselves newer and newer. This means ever perfecting health, greater and greater power to enjoy all that exists, gradual transition into a higher state of being, and the development of powers we do not now realize as belonging to us. We are the limited yet ever-growing parts and expressions of the supreme, never-ending whole. It is the destiny of all in time to see their relation to the supreme, and also to see that the straight and narrow path to ever-increasing happiness is a perfect trust and dependence on the supreme for the all-round symmetrical wisdom and idea which we individually cannot originate. Let us then daily demand faith, for faith is power to believe and power to see that all things are parts of the infinite Spirit of God, that all things have good or God in them, and that all things, when recognized by us as parts of God, must work for our good.
Wow.
Pretty cool, isn't it?
Very cool.
Yeah. I love this. It
encompasses
exactly.
All.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was written in the 19th
yes,
century.
There were a bunch of these guys. A
lot of mystics.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know how brave they could be.
Well, that's how they were perceived. You know, I'm sure they were slightly talk about being in the closet, metaphysical closet. They had to.
So thank you for joining us, and happy trails as you go explore the beloved universe, God, Yahweh, Creator, whatever it is for you. And we thank you, and until next time, when we
journey into the vortex.
We hope you have enjoyed today's dialogue. Please do not hesitate to let us know if you have questions, suggestions, or simply want to connect. You can reach us through our website at journeyintothevortex.com, Facebook, or Instagram. We hope you will join us again as we continue this transformative journey into the vortex.